Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of dealing with challenging people in difficult circumstances. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Ann Sadowski, who is a nationally renowned educator, consultant, and speaker to the multifamily industry. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, sir.
So, in discussing this topic with you during show prep, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world today. There's a lot of, seems like, angry people and all kinds of incidents that are occurring. And it permeates into different parts of everyone's lives. And I know that those types of attitudes and that type of brazenness and boldness has started to permeate into the multifamily industry as far as residents and the staffs are concerned. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing.
This is my 51st year in this industry, and we've had angry residents and people upset, and we have a challenging job the entire time I've been in the industry, but never as it has been in the last, I'm going to say 5 years, maybe seven, and it's just getting progressively worse. And I don't want to be a fear monger. I just would like to ask our industry to take this wake up call and to be a little more aware of what they can do to help resolve, and I'm certainly not with the police department or the anybody else official, so I don't have perfect tools for all of that. But what I want to talk about today is our own behavior and how we deal with it. And I think it's really interesting as we look at our industry and realize what the real cause is of people even just moving out today. You know, I got a survey that was, I got out of U.S. News and World Report or something several years ago about why people quit doing business with any given business. And, you know, it was like 1% die, which makes resident retention a little tough, and 5% move too far away to be able to still live in your community, in our case, or to do business with your store, whatever. And it goes on down to odds and ends, but 68% say they stop doing business with any given business because of the way they are treated and spoken to by people in the office.
Wow.
So, and I'll tell you a quick interesting story. I was flying next to a guy several years ago, and you know, typical, you know, you say nothing for a little while and then we take off and then you say hello and, you know, are you on business or personal or you chat a little bit. And I asked him what he did and he said, I'm an attorney. And I said, well, that's neat. I said, what kind of law do you practice? And he said, I am a medical malpractice attorney. And I said, oh, why did you choose this? And he said, because I was a doctor. And I went, you went all the way through medical school, and then you went to law school? And he said, I did, because I could see the need. So I sat there quietly for a minute, and I said, I'll let you read your book. May I ask you one more question? What is the number one reason that patients file a medical malpractice suit? And I always thought he was going to say we cut off the wrong leg or we, you know, maimed them in some way. And he said, honestly, the number one reason that they file a lawsuit is because they try to get it dealt with through the nurses and through the receptionist and through the front office, and because of the way they're spoken to and the way they're treated and can't even seem to get to the doctor him or herself, they get angry and they file the lawsuit. And I was stunned.
Wow.
I was truly stunned. So there's a lesson there for all of us, and I think – you know, it's You look at road rage today, you look at angry, hostile people, you look at school shootings and church shootings, and right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have had some experiences. Many years ago, geez, back in the 90s, I saw, as I was walking through the airport getting off a plane, I saw the headlines on the Dallas Morning News, and it said apartment manager and assistant shot by resident. And, of course, needless to say, I stopped and grabbed the newspaper to read on the way home, and I knew the supervisor. I knew the company. Actually, the gal had worked with me at Lincoln Property Company. And I called her, and I said, what the heck happened? And, of course, in Texas, our lease has a landlord lien clause, which I wish wasn't there, but it is. And I hear it rarely is enforced, but then once in a while I hear people say that they do. Can you imagine there are a couple of things that make people really mad? And one is going in their apartment and taking their stuff. And, of course, the second one today is parking, and we can talk about that later. But it's I said to her what happened, and she said the young man didn't pay his rent, and we kept calling and leaving notices and leaving something hanging on his door or whatever, and finally we didn't hear from him, and so we went in, and back in the day when we really were enforcing it more, and we took his guitar and his stereo back then, sound equipment today, and left a notice. And he came home, and he found it, and he was very angry, and he stormed into the office, and he was ranting and raving, and she said, sadly, as I dug into it, my people ranted and raged back at him, and that he didn't pay his rent, and we had the right to do this, and yada, yada, yada. So he storms back and gets a handgun, comes back and shoots both of them. Did not kill them. Both of them were wounded and went to the hospital. And I said to Debbie, the regional supervisor, let's look at what would have happened if when he came in the office, they'd said, will you please have a seat and let's talk this out. Here's a copy of your lease highlighted in yellow where you signed it said that we could do this. And here's the list of numbers of times we've tried to reach you and tried to contact you and tried to get your attention. And we don't want your things. We want to put them right back in your apartment exactly where they belong, but you have to pay your rent. So do you have any way to, and maybe you can borrow money from your parents, maybe you can get away, but you have to pay your rent. We seem to have, through the years, we've gotten less accomplished at reasoning with people, and we've become the fanner of the flame. I look at posts on the internet a lot in our industry, and how many people in our industry say awful things about their residents. And of course, they feel that it's a private website and that we can all just unload and talk to each other, but saying ugly things about people and how stupid the residents are. And that permeates our minds and our hearts and our souls. I'm sorry. If you go around speaking ugly of people and life and even yourself, that's the way you're going to behave. I really believe that the universe and our subconscious mind hears all of that. So my message today is going to be about not fanning the flame and pouring gasoline on an already burning fire.
So we've got a couple of minutes left, 2 minutes left before we have to go to break. But, you know, we do understand that times are different. People are angrier, it seems like, these days. What, when you're talking to your clients and your colleagues, what do you think the top two or three complaints are that they're getting? I know you mentioned, touching their stuff is one.
Yeah.
But what else are you seeing out there?
Almost nothing makes them angrier than towing their car.
And
I want to talk about when we come back how important it is that your communication in reviewing the lease and your community policies, which are an addendum to the lease, with people either before they sign the lease or when they come to move in and they're going to be busy and they're not going to want to do it then, we do not communicate and go through that lease paragraph by paragraph and even the community policies. So our parking policies have to be made totally, totally clear. And yes, some people are going to disregard it and make mistakes. But I guarantee you we're not doing a good job of communicating what it takes to live in your apartment community.
You know, communication, I think, is at the heart of any kind of disagreement, no matter where it is in the world. We do have to take a break. We're going to be back after these short messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of dealing with challenging people in difficult circumstances. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is longtime industry veteran Ann Sadowski, who is a nationally renowned educator, consultant, and speaker to the apartment industry. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Ann, all of this that we're talking about, dealing with difficult people, it's a very, very difficult thing, a hard job for the people who are on site. What are you seeing and what are you communicating to them when you're consulting with them about their job and what it's involved into?
Thank you for asking, because I think that one of the most important things I need to say is that I know your job is tough. To every apartment manager, every assistant manager, every leasing consultant, every service tech, every regional manager, this is not an easy job. This is not a job for sissies, just like growing old is not a job for sissies. Being an apartment manager is not a job for sissies. It takes a strong person. It takes a person who is reasonable and a person who can reason with people. And I laugh and tell people, when you've been in this business 2 years or so, you have equivalent to a degree in psychology. I've also learned that it's a love it or hate it career. I've known people that got in the industry, lasted 6 months, and said, there's no way I'm doing this. And I have other friends who are veterans like I am, who stuck it out for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So it's love it or hate it. So I actually wrote a fun article about, I called it The Apartment Professional Wears Many Hats. And I'm just going to kind of breeze through that real quickly.
Sure.
Because, you know, one is technology. Today you've got to know. You've got to learn. You've got to be technologically savvy It's a challenge for me because I'm not working on site anymore. But when I am on site with my clients, I'm more focused on personalities and leasing and the condition of the properties and walking the vacancies. And it, but, you know, I mean, it's like you got to know how to fix the computer when the power goes out. And you have to understand the terminology and the acronyms, like what's a motherboard and it's corrupted memory and press any key. And it, I've never found a key that says any. So, but it's you know, the word terminal always makes me think it's dying. And my favorite term is ISDW. It still doesn't work. So, and then, of course, there's the so you have equivalent to a technology degree. And then there's marketing and sales because you got to know how to get traffic and leases in the dead of the winter at Christmas and holiday time when it's pouring rain, when the market's overbuilt and your community hasn't been updated in 20 years. I mean, there's a lot. And, of course, fair housing. You and I have talked about fair housing before, but, I mean, it's to be able to appropriately say, no, I'm terribly sorry your dog cannot swim in the pool with you. It can go to the pool but not in the pool. Or, no, really and truly, seven people can't live in a one-bedroom. And how to do that, do it professionally. And so you kind of have to know legalese and how to file an eviction. And go. So there's another degree. And then, again, as I mentioned, psychology. So there's a lot to this job. It is not easy. I understand the frustration. I understand the benefits. But in today's world, here's what I'm trying to say. I truly believe that 80% of the time, you can calm the savage beast. 80% of the time, if you can stay cool, if you can stay kind, if you cannot get defensive, if you've got the right words and the right patience with people, you can get it resolved without guns and fists and cursing and, you know,
bad reviews.
Pardon me?
And without bad reviews.
Without bad reviews, and that's another huge topic.
Sure.
I'm working with one right now for one of my clients, and they have a gal that writes their reviews, but when she gets one that's this difficult, it emails me and says, please help me write this one, you know, because when people get, and you know, that is the new tool, that's the payback tool. When people don't get their way or they're not happy, they go straight to social media and rip you to shreds. And of course, the readers don't take into consideration that person may have just been evicted or told no about something, you know, and they use that to punish us.
Sure.
And it's a dreadful part of our industry today. And yet, social media is such an important part because we get good reviews and we get referrals.
Right.
So it's another reason for us to stay cool.
You know, Ann, I you know, some of the classes I've taken that NAA, the National Apartment Association, provides, you know, one of the classes, I think it was in a CAM class, they were talking about, you know, what do you do when you have a difficult situation? You know, what's your body language saying? You know, do you look like you're paying attention? Are you looking at your phone or looking on your computer while they're talking and complaining? That people, if they don't understand those things, it only exacerbates the problem.
And you know, something interesting, Paul. That is my goal until I die or simply can't go anymore. Of sharing that message. Everybody is so focused on the technology. Everybody's focused on social media. Everybody, you know, and I know that, you know, people can rent on, they can find the apartment online, they can rent online, they can sign the documents online, they can pay their rent online, they can turn in their service request online, and now we have package lockers so they don't come in the office much anymore, and so we're not seeing them face-to-face as much until they're unhappy.
Right.
Until they're unhappy. So and I wish, you know, I think there are many, many people who do what I do in our industry. When I started, there were two of us, me and Gene Chamberlain, God rest his soul. And now there are probably 50 people traveling and doing and speaking and training. And it's all social media, and it's all a lot of brouhaha and a lot of – and I think the owners, the training directors, don't place the importance that needs to be placed on. You have to finally be able to talk to a human being face to face. And no offense to the younger generation, I'm working with millennials and even nexters now with my clients, and they are delightful. Their attention span, I understand, is about 7 minutes. And so that's why we have to talk fast and do your radio show quick and fast, because a lot of the younger people don't want to spend the time or be still that long. But one of the things I know for sure from dealing with my own grandchildren and even my great-grandchildren, they're not being taught common courtesy. I don't think it's happening in the schools. I don't think it's happening in our homes as much. Everybody's busy. Everybody's walking around with their face in their phone. And ultimately, sooner or later, as business professionals, you're going to have to come face-to-face with an unhappy resident or, you know, sitting and listening to people's problems because they want to come in the office and take your time. And it's tough. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we can't get along, you know, a lot. You know, just our personality differences. Some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts. And I think that our industry has turned most of us into ambiverts. I kind of made that up, that we're both. You know, you learn that if you're a salesperson and you love to be the one who's leasing, but ultimately you have to do the paperwork, that you have to, you know, convert over a little bit to more of an introvert. And the introverts who want to hide when the phone rings ultimately have to answer the phone. So it's that's part of it. And I think the other thing we deal with is that people are very self-interested. You know, it's kind of a survival thing, sure. I guess. But there's a lot of ego, a lot of lack of trust, a lot of wanting to be first, like, you know, on the freeway. You want to be first on the freeway, and you want to move over. And you know, the person behind you won't let you get in because they have survival self-interest, et cetera, et cetera. And so you give each other some finger message, and then they shoot you, you know.
Right.
So, and we also we deal with people with very high deserve levels. And when you have a high deserve level and it's combined with low self-esteem, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It is dangerous. You know, I see it happen. People sitting in the parking lot at a mall with their signal light on, waiting for a person to back out, and somebody whips right around them and takes the parking place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we wonder why people get angry, because all of us, our behaviors need to be corrected.
Yeah.
Well, and we have very short fuses. I mean, full-on temper tantrums, cursing at each other, road rage, cubicle rage. You know, we're dealing with all of that. And I also think another issue is that people always want to be right. You know, if one has to win, the other one has to lose. So we don't focus very well on win-win. And I'm sorry to get on such a roll and not let you talk.
That's okay. but we do have to take a break right now. We're gonna be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of dealing with challenging people in difficult circumstances. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Ann Sadowski, who is a nationally renowned educator, speaker, and consultant to the apartment industry. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible, EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma, WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. And the question, we talked a lot about conflict, and it's inevitable in our industry. I want to ask you in just a second what to do when conflict arises. But when we were talking in the last segment, and you were giving some great advice and making some great observations, it reminded me of one of the best property managers that I've ever spoken with, as far as most outgoing and friendly and so forth. I asked them about conflict and how they deal with things. And they said the first thing they do is they don't take it personally.
That's on my list. You are right about that.
And the other thing that they said, which I thought was kind of unique, was they look at it as a challenge. They look at it they're getting ready to do a show. And as soon as that person walks in with that frown on their face, or they can hear them talking to one of the assistants loudly, that for them, the curtain goes up. And they go out there knowing that they are going to, number one, it may not be important who's right, but what's important is resolving the situation to everyone's satisfaction, and that's what their goal is. They don't take anything personally that's said. And I just thought that was a very unique way of looking at it. And sometimes in the heat of something, it's hard for people to respond in that way. But this person kind of had it figured out.
I think there are two factors there, and one is maturity, and I'm not talking just about age.
Sure.
I'm talking how mature the person is. I mean, I've known very mature 20-year-olds,
right,
and I've known very immature 50-year-olds. So, but I think, you know, I always laugh and tell everybody, with wrinkles comes wisdom, and I think being wise and being mature is a huge part of it. And again, you know, not taking it personally. They're not mad at you. You have to remind yourself of that. So just here are a few things that I think are important. You know, number one, your basic personality is pretty solid by the time you're 7 years old. Your personality is not going to change, but your behaviors can change. So I am challenging our industry to change our behavior toward people when they're upset. And so when conflict arises, number one, don't react. There are three natural reactions that people have. One is you act like they do. They cuss, you cuss. They roll around on the floor, and you roll around on the floor with them. That doesn't work. To give in, if you're a peacemaker, it's like, okay, don't be mean to me. I'm going to give you free rent, and yes, you can have this and that. That doesn't work either if you want to keep your job. And then the third natural reaction is to escape. Okay, step out, please. I'm locking my door and going home now. I can't deal with this anymore. None of those work.
Right.
So what comes to us naturally, and a lot of our problem-solving skills are based on the way we were raised. If our parents were screamers and fighters, that's the way we grew up, and that's what we think works. So my tips here are listen and don't interrupt. Let them talk it out. Let them talk. If you feel you need a mediator or a third person in the room, say, let me bring in Susie. She's going to take notes. Or I use a talking stick. When I'm working with people in conflict, I have a really cute medicine stick from an Indian tribe, a talking stick. And whoever's holding the stick gets to talk. And you don't get to talk until you get the stick. And it makes people slow down. And the other thing is to acknowledge their feelings. We're going to talk about words to use, but just, I see that you're upset. I know that that hurts. And don't use the word but.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing your son says, Dad, can I take the car Saturday night? Oh, sure, honey. But, and then the hair on the back of his neck rises because it's like you have to be in by 9 or you have to put gas in the car or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, use the word and. You know, I hear what you're saying, and instead of but. Mm-hmm. And start your sentences with I or I feel, but don't start your sentences with you, because when you start a sentence with you, it sounds blaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So you ask helpful questions. Don't take it personally. Watch your body language. When you cross your arms, when you frown at them, when you lean back in your chair like you're really not interested and you won't make eye contact with them, that's bad news. That's going to offend them even more.
Right.
Even more. So, you know, magic words, please, thank you. You know, I'd be upset if that happened to me. You know, we appreciate your business. You are important to us. All of our residents are important to us. I understand where you're coming from. Let's work together on a solution. I'm here to help. And you'd be amazed how that diffuses. You know, I've got lots more words. Okay. So I think an important point is just having an attitude of resolution. You know, we want to be at peace. We want to be productive. We want to retain our residents. You know, I mean, I see, again, people are already posting, oh, thank God that person's finally moving out. You know, they've been so difficult to deal with. And I'm thinking, yeah, and you're sitting there with a vacancy that may take a month to lease, and you lose $1,000 a month, and you have to turn costs, and I don't think that we focus enough on the cost of conflict in business today.
No, that's very important. I mean, I've heard estimates that a turn can typically cost anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000.
Yep, that's the average today.
Yeah. So, what part does a maintenance staff play in this
critical
type of conflict?
And that's another area that I get on my soapbox. Sorry. When we think maintenance, we think nuts and bolts and toilets and air conditioners. When I think maintenance, I think public relations. And I've actually written a new seminar on that topic. I'm going to be delivering it at the education conference for AAGD here in Dallas in January. And I titled it, Maintenance is Your New PR Team. Because they see the residents more than we do now, Paul. You know, if they're not picking up packages, they're not coming in to pay the rent, it's all done online. When do we see them? Only when they're upset. They see them when they just go in to fix the air conditioner or change a filter.
Right.
They see them on the parking lot more. They're out driving around on the golf cart. How important it is to wave at people and say hello, and when you're in their home, to be respectful, and to be, I mean, I actually, a service tech actually told me, he said, I got in trouble for something. I said, what happened? He said, I was working in the apartment, and the resident said, I can't believe you guys are raising our rent again. And he said, I said to her, I know we're going to keep gouging you people till you can't afford to live here anymore. Well, they'll give you a stroke.
Sure.
So one of my biggest longtime clients here in Dallas, I gathered all the service techs several months ago and went through the entire customer service, your words matter, your behavior, dress for success. I know you're in maintenance. I know you get sweaty. I know you get dirty. But groom yourself, you know, and just to be courteous to people. And one of the guys came up to me after the class and just touched my heart so much. He said, today you made me not only a better employee, you made me a better man, a better father, and a better husband.
That's great.
And I was so touched because we're talking about people that rarely get motivational messages and how to be courteous and how to be kind. They don't get that kind of training.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So I'm on my soapbox on that one, too. Sorry.
No problem. We've got a little bit over a minute left before we go to break and come back with our last segment. But I did want to ask you, we've talked a little bit about it, but what about the fast-paced times that we're in right now? I mean, how much is that contributing to all this?
I think that's huge, Paul, because, you know, we are all in a hurry. I mean, you know, you're in Houston. I know your traffic is sort of like ours in Dallas. When I get on the freeway here, I'm going, who are all of these people? And everybody's in a hurry. Everybody has a car. Everybody's in a hurry. And so it's the way we eat. People eat fast. People drive fast. People talk fast, like me. And it is a hard pace to maintain and still be able to do, to be courteous and professional and to be kind. It's like say it and get it over. And it just doesn't work anymore.
Okay.
And, of course, the technology contributes to that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we do have to take a break, and we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of dealing with challenging people in difficult circumstances. I am Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Ann Sandowski, who is a nationally renowned speaker, educator, and consultant to the apartment industry. And Ann did quote from a fun article that she had previously written in one of the earlier segments, and I will post that article on our website for this episode, if on the episode page for this episode. If anybody would like to go there and read it or download it, you're welcome to do that at any time. And communication, we've already said, is the key. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about words to use and not use and so forth. But just one quick question I have, and you've seen a lot of this. I know you do a lot of training. You deal with a lot of different companies and owners and management companies. Do you think they get it at that level as far as the fact that there is a pretty good turnover in our industry as far as employees go, and that training is not something you can do, check it off the list, and say, okay, I've done that now. It's every day there's new employees coming on their properties that need to have this kind of training. Do you think they understand that?
I don't. I think I think that companies still have the kind of an attitude of they'll get it through osmosis, you know, but they don't. And it's, you know, and I'm not just pushing me as a trainer educator. There are a bunch of us out there. There are great training directors within the company, but there's no question that companies are more focused on the technology and the hard skills than they are on the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dealing with our employees. We're, you know, there are a lot of companies that They don't have soft skills even with their team members, let alone with their residents. So, and I'm everybody's busy. One more time, I don't mean to be the voice of doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. Everybody is busy, but employee turnover is a huge issue in our industry. You barely get them trained and they move on, you know, and somebody pays them $5 more or $2 more an hour or whatever. And the other thing that happens, I think, when people in the leasing part of our business get in here and find out that they can sell and that they're really good at it, mm-hmm. heck, they go sell cars. They go sell something with big ticket prices and they get big commissions, yeah. you know. So there are several factors. I think we've grown a lot in understanding that we have to pay better. Every position is critically important, obviously. So you can't just say we're just going to pay the managers big and pay everybody else little, because the leasing team can make you or break you. The service team can make you or break you. So we need to do a better job on soft skills. And getting people to listen to you today, they think you're old-fashioned and an old fogey. So, all right, so here's some of the things that I want to say.
Sure.
Just kind of a quick list. Watch your tone of voice. Don't raise your voice. Be pleasant. Be polite. State your intent. You know, I'm here to help. I want to be part of the solution and never part of the problem. Be very tactful. If you feel that you do need to interrupt or make a note of it and just, you know, and when they interrupt you, be tactful. Be flexible. Sometimes our industry, we have a lease and we have the community policies and they're ironclad, and I understand that. I'm not asking anybody to break the lease. But being flexible enough to say, you know, we may not be able to do that, but maybe we can do this. I also think it's important that you have an attitude of you get what you expect. You know, if you expect people to be nicer and you be nicer, you'll be surprised at what that does. And also sometimes just giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, you don't immediately, when you hear a rumor, go out and start hanging eviction notices on people's doors. You have to find out what's really going on and learn to handle criticism. I am a person who believes there's no such thing as constructive criticism. I think all criticism is destructive. You learn to correct and to ask for change without criticizing the person. That sets people off more. And then, of course, watching your attitude. You know, that's critical. So one of the things, I don't want to run out of time, but I want to talk, Paul, a couple of minutes about the likability factor. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite topics, and I talk about it a lot when I'm talking with the leasing teams, of just remembering and understanding people buy from whom they like.
Mm-hmm.
People stay. People stay because they like the staff, because the staff is nice to them, because the staff is cooperative and helpful, even if the rent goes up. I mean, it's one of the things in this high rent stage. They're not going to pay for bad service. So here's the likability factor. You got 30 seconds. In 30 seconds of starting a conversation, it's based on how you look and how you move. And what that means is that you groom yourself, you have a pleasant countenance, you look nice, and then how you move doesn't mean how you groove. It means, do you cross your arms in front, or do you open your arms, and do you nod your head up and down yes when they're talking? That's step one, how you look and how you move. Step two is what you say and how you say it. And that's been our whole topic on this program today.
Sure.
It's not just that you know what to say, but the tone and the way you say it. It's like me saying, Paul, I love you. Or being very passionate and saying, oh, Paul, I love you so much. There's a big difference in the way we say things.
Right. And by the way, and we've got about 6 minutes and 45 seconds left in the segment, so... 2 to 3 minutes, and then we can go to, you know, what's going on with you and that type of thing.
I'd rather talk about helping them than what's
okay.
going on with
right.
me. But
well, we can do that. That's not
I'll
a problem.
Do a very short commercial for me, but I'd rather
okay.
help them.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, whenever you're ready, you can start with the third point.
Okay. And now the third point of the likability factor is how you make others feel. The first point was how you look, how you move. The second point is what you say, how you say it. But how you make other people feel. So here's a question for all of you. When a resident or prospective resident has an experience with you in your office, what do you think they say when they walk away? Hmm. When they meet their friends for lunch, when they're chatting with somebody at the office about where they live or if they're thinking about moving, what do they say? And then, as we mentioned earlier, what are they going to go online and say? We shoot ourselves in the foot. So it's important that we not let others set the tone and the mood. That's our job. And so I'm saying get to know yourself a little bit better, have a little empathy, walk in their shoes. This is what I say to the service techs. If you got home at the end of the day, unlocked your door, and your apartment was flooded, would you be upset? And they go, oh, well, yeah. And I said, then have a little empathy for how they feel when they get home and their apartment is flooded. So Ambrose Bierce had a great quote, speak when you're angry, you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. And so just note natural reactions. Again, you can act the way they do, you can give in, you can escape, or you can call a mental timeout and get focused on your goal. So know your hot buttons and don't let things get to you. So I do, Paul, want to talk about words to use and not to use, but I'm gonna start that real quickly because I know we're getting a little bit short on time.
We got about 5 minutes.
I also have a wonderful quote from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "When you're angry, count to 10. If you're really angry, count to 100." So I think sort of starting to wrap up. We need to disarm them by doing something different than they're expecting. When they come in the door and they're upset or they call you or they rant or they're writing these negative posts, do the opposite. They're looking for a fight. Don't give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to take 3 deep breaths. Learn to calm yourself. Be a better listener. Sit and listen and pick up a pencil. And I'm not kidding. I know in the world of computers today, probably you don't even have a pencil on your desk anymore. But if you start taking notes, it's sort of like, Paul, if you and I took 8 people to lunch and there were 10 of us and the food server comes over and says, what will you have? And 10 of us order and he never writes anything down. You're going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to get it right or we're not? And because nobody just says, I'll have a number 3. I want a number 3 with cheese, but don't put onion on it, and then, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So picking up a pen or a pencil shows that you're interested. When they're yelling at you on the phone, say, okay, I'm writing this down. I'm taking notes. And next, I would say, acknowledge their feelings, you know. And I gave you a few words earlier, you know. I'd be upset if that happened to me.
Right.
So sort of agree when you can. So, and again, here's my note one more time. Don't take it personally. Use words like, why don't we, and why not, and what if I, can you give me a little more? So here are my magic words to use. Please, thank you, we appreciate you. You're very important to us. I'd be upset if that happened to me. Let's think of something that will be fair to both of us. Isn't that magic?
Think about that. That is.
You know, they're coming in and they're saying, you know, I want new carpet. You got carpet 2 years ago. And you say, let's think about something that will be fair to both of us. I would love to give you exactly what you're asking for and what you want, but I have to be fair to my company, too. What about if we shampoo the carpet and do a little spot treatment? I want to help. That has to be the attitude. But I want to give you the never use words.
Mm-hmm.
That was your fault. You were dishonest. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You're mistaken. You failed to let us know. The blame is on you. This is your error. You misled us. If you hadn't ignored it, you should have done this. You were irresponsible, uncaring, not clear. Do you have that in writing? I always love that one. Do you have that? The former manager said, "I could." Do you have that in writing? Okay. Unfocused. How many times do I have to tell you this? That's charming. mind your own business. You don't even try. Grow up. Do you have witnesses? Control yourself, and I especially love this one. You can come back in the office and speak to me when you can be civil, and don't speak to me in that tone of voice. Now, I know that's a long list, but I am telling you that these are words that I've heard used speaking to the customer who makes your paycheck. If you remember, this resident is your customer. The company may sign the check, but where does the money come from? It comes from happy people that pay their rent and refer their friends.
And those words only fan the flames.
It absolutely is pouring gasoline on an already burning fire. I actually witnessed one time, I was out in front of the office, and somebody, a resident, came in and walked in the manager's office and closed the door, and I could hear them raising their voices to each other. And I'm standing there talking with the leasing consultant and trying not to be nosy, but, I mean, it was getting pretty heated. And I heard her, the manager, shout, don't use that kind of language with me. I'm a Christian. Mm. And the guy sweeps everything off her desk with his arm, storms out, slams the door so hard it broke the glass in the door. Mm. And when it all calmed down a little bit, and I went to see if he was all right. I hoped he didn't get cut or whatever. And he said, I don't want to talk to anybody else. I said, sir, I'm just checking to see if you're physically okay. You know, and of course I went in and I said, what do you think he heard when you said I'm a Christian? She said, I don't know. And I said, he heard you say, I'm a good person and you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. Or I'm your mother and I'm going to brush your teeth with soap. Mm. So, there are so many messages that we need to get on this topic, and I'm glad you picked this topic today.
Well, we do have to end this episode, but, you know, Ann, you're always welcome to come back. You've got great input and information, and I guess that comes with being in the industry for 51 years. So
I think it helps a lot. That's my degree in psychology.
Real quick, tell everybody if they want to get in touch with you how they can.
Everything is simple. It's using my name. My email address is ann@annsadovsky.com. My website is www.annsadovsky.com.
Okay.
My office phone number is 972-661-9300.
Well, thank you so much. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.